Hare Krishna. We welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath's weekly Sunday festival. Thank you for being with us. This morning, quite early, a telephone call came to the temple informing us that our very dear devotee, Trivikram Prabhu, was in extremely critical condition. A few days ago, he had a massive heart attack. This morning, his health was seriously declining. According to the doctors, there is very little possibility or hope that he will physically survive. I went to the Nanavati Hospital to be with him and his family. Govinda Prabhu was there telling many beautiful stories. I chanted with him for a couple hours. My humble request to all of you, please pray to Sri Radha Gopinath, Nitai Gaur Chandra, to shower their mercy and blessings upon him. One very beautiful thing that I witnessed today is Aniruddha, his only child, who is, I believe, 20 years old. He was at the hospital with his mother. He told me how extremely grateful he was. We could imagine he has no brothers and sisters. He's only 20 years old. His father is facing imminent death. The son is there, helpless to help him physically, but very much trying to help him spiritually by being with the devotees, chanting the holy names and praying. But he expressed to me his gratitude for this family of Vaishnavas that are bestowing such unconditional love, doing everything possibly they can to help his father attain the supreme destination. Actually, the senior-most members of our congregation, many of the senior-most members of the Brahmachari Ashram, were there, going in and out, chanting for him, reading for him, praying for him. But also Aniruddha said, besides my father, for me and my mother. He said, so much help, so much support, so much affection. He said that I really feel as if I have so many fathers and so many mothers. The way the devotees are taking care of me, the way the devotees are extending themselves for me. He said, there's no possibility of a family like this any other way. This is something I've seen time and again during these traumatic crises in devotees' lives, that they find that their own family members mean extended family members aren't near as concerned with helping as the family of devotees, who are not physically, biologically related, who are related only on the basis of devotion to Krishna and Sri Radharani. And how deep and how committed. He was saying, the immense amount of sacrifices that devotees were making to help his father, to help him and his mother. He's deeply moved, deeply grateful. He was finding shelter and hope at a most hopeless time, due to the loving service of the Vaishnavas. Trivikram Prabhu was a wonderful Vaishnav, one of our counselors, very senior counselor. He helped distribute Prabhupada's Back to Godhead and books extensively, member of our dramas, and has helped guide and inspire many, many devotees who he personally took care of on the path of bhakti. Service to the Vaishnavas is a very intimate offering to Sri Siddhartha Gopinath. Mad puja pyadika. Krishna tells, worship of my devotee is more dear to me than worship to me. And we see in this instance and so many others where there is this selfless endeavor to serve other Vaishnavas, especially at times at need when they can give nothing in return. When we sacrifice so much, knowing the only thing we'll get in return is the blessing that we have served a Vaishnava. You see, real service is without expectation of anything material in return. That is bhakti. Anya bilashita sunyam gyara kamanya anukuliena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutam. Real devotion is not mixed with any desire for anything physical, emotional, materially in return. We don't even want liberation from suffering. We simply want to serve in a favorable way that pleases Krishna. That is bhakti. It's easy to work when we're expecting something in return. Prestige, position, power. Money. But to serve simply because this is what Krishna would want me to do. This will please my guru and the Vaishnavas. That is bhakti. And people could feel that. People could feel love when there's unconditional service. And as far as spreading bhakti or preaching the message, it's a very powerful way of preaching. Because by seeing the example of such people, like Dwarkadish and Vishakapriya, who are time and again are helping devotees in these conditions, devotees develop faith, deep faith. Yes, this bhakti is of real substance. It's for real. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita puts great emphasis on how the Supreme Lord loves his devotees. Bhagavad Gita explains that Krishna is equal to everyone. He's not partial to anyone. But at the same time, Krishna gives everyone the chance by giving us free will. But yeyatam mam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaham mama vart manuvartante manushya parata sarvasha. As you surrender unto me, I respond and reveal myself accordingly. For those who make sacrifices for Krishna, for those who give up things that they are attached to for the higher cause of service to Krishna, Krishna is unlimitedly grateful. We were discussing last week, gratitude is one of the most precious qualities of a saintly person. Even in the most desperate time, a devotee is grateful. And eager to serve. That gratitude is part and parcel of the supreme gratitude of God. So grateful. Neha bikramanasosti pratyavayo navidyate. That any service we do for the pleasure of the Lord never forgets, ever. You may be grateful for what somebody has done for you, but do you remember all the things that people did to you? For you when you were a little child? How many of you remember? Do you remember all the nice things people did for you in your past life? Or the life before that? Or the life before that? We've all been here for so many lives. People may have done so many things, performed so many sacrifices. You may have had mothers and fathers that practically died for your happiness in your past lives. Do you remember any? So our power to be grateful is very limited. But Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesha Junatishtati. Krishna is in our heart. He remembers everything. If you did even one small thing, 10 million births in the past, Krishna remembers it. And he's just waiting for you to continue. All those credits are still there. Why? Because of his gratitude. Such a friend. He never leaves us. He's seated right in our heart beside us and never forgets. Whatever sins we've done, whatever ways we have offended him, blasphemed him, betrayed him, rejected him, he remembers that too. But sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam vraja. Just sincerely try to surrender and he'll forget it all. He'll remove it all. It's gone. It's gone forever. He may not forget it, but as good as that. As if you never did anything. Even if trillions of births you have offended God, just surrender now. It's gone. But one little thing you do to serve him and to please him, never gone. There is nothing within the entire material creation that can erase from Krishna's memory our credits in devotional service. Because it is eternal. Who is a friend like this? So those devotees, according to the sincerity of our effort to please Krishna, Krishna becomes obliged. He loves his devotees. In fact, he accepts position of being subordinate and controlled by the love of his devotees. That is the nature of love. A devotee is conquered by Krishna's love, and Krishna, by his own free will, is conquered by the devotee's love. There's a wonderful illustration of this. There are innumerable illustrations of this in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. One that is very prominent is the story of the passing of Srila Haridas Thakur. The day of Haridas Thakur's disappearance from this world was celebrated by us just a few days ago, Ananta Chaturdasi. So since many of you were not here for the beautiful Bhagavatam class that was given that day by Gaur Gopal Prabhu, I'll share some thoughts in this regard with your permission. You sound very sleepy. Thank you. Haridas Thakur, we know, although he was born in an outcast family, he loved the association of devotees. And he had a very, very deep conviction in the power of the holy name. He was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra day and night. 300,000 names every day. That's 192 rounds on his beads. And after he finished that, he would be dancing and singing the holy names and preaching the glories of the holy names. In those days in India, being an outcast from the Hindu perspective was a very, very limiting situation. He was condemned. He was not allowed in temples. Now, he could have just said, well, why should I follow this religion? Why not go to another religion? It'd be so much easier. Because the smart Brahmins were so unfair to him. But he was a man of essence. He was tasting the sweetness of the holy name. As he was chanting the holy name, he was experiencing the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna. He was tasting their qualities, their love, their mercy, their pastimes. He was experiencing the eternal abode of the Lord as he was chanting the holy names. In that state, who can convince you to change? Those who are superficially attached to the external forms of their religion, without understanding the essence of it, have been causing troubles and making offenses as long as we have human history. It is a fact. Sectarianism, it's all based on false ego. I am better than you. That's what it comes down to. Human beings with ego have this tendency, once coming into the environment of Maya or material energy, that we want to be, as Prabhupada would say, the Lord of all we survey. We want to be controller. We want to be proprietor. We want to be enjoyer. We want to be better than others. So we take our nationality, or our race, or our religion, somehow or other, whatever we're connected to, we have this lamentable need to feel ourselves superior to others. So for me to feel better than you, that means my religion is better than yours. Or even with the same religion, my denomination is better than yours. Or even with the same denomination, my guru is better than yours. Or even with the same guru, my temple is better than yours. Or even with the same temple, my classes are better than yours. Or my flower garlands are better than yours. Why is this? It's just the opposite of the essence of what religion is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Amani Namanadena. This is a Vaishnav, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect any respect for oneself. Haridas Thakur was the best of the best from a spiritual perspective. And yet he was condemned and persecuted again and again as being the worst of the worst. But the amazing thing is, he felt himself to be the worst of the worst, even though he was the best of the best. We know the story of Ramchandra Khan. He sent that prostitute to destroy Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was so, he knew why she came. She came to ruin his life. He was, if he so much did anything with her, he was going to be cast into prison and beaten and disgraced and maybe killed. And this was a so-called very learned, wealthy Hindu gentleman who was doing this to him, because he just could not tolerate that an outcast was becoming popular in his religion. But Haridas Thakur stayed there, just chanted Hare Krishna, prayed for this woman, and ultimately she became his disciple. And she shaved her head. Not that you have to do that, ladies, but she shaved. She gave away all of her belongings, just put on a simple white cloth, stayed in his bhajan kutir in the forest, worshipped Tulsi, and he left, and she chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every day, and people would just come and bring her food. And it's not that he stayed to say, well, look what I have done. He left. Never came back. That was Bainapol. And then he went, wherever he went to Chandpur in Adi Saptagram. And there, Balaramacharya, Yadunandan Acharya, they were great devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, this is before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his Leela. But they were great Vaishnavas. And they understood what a great devotee he was, even though they were Brahmins. They asked him to give a lecture on the glories of the holy names. And the father of Raghunath Das Goswami and the uncle, they were so deeply grateful to Haridas Thakur, they invited all their employees and other respectable people from the area. And Haridas was simply quoting from the scriptures the glories of the holy name with his own realizations. And one person who was in the audience, who was a very highly learned, respected Brahmin, couldn't tolerate this. He stood up and began to blaspheme Haridas Thakur right in front of everyone. You are saying that simply chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can attain prema? And compared to prema, mukti is an insignificant byproduct, which is automatically achieved. And then he screamed out that if what you are saying is not true, which it isn't, I curse you that your nose will fall off. Haridas Thakur, what could he do? He just, very humbly, he said, everything I'm saying, it's true. It's in the scriptures. Anyways, the next day that person got leprosy and his nose fell off. And Haridas Thakur was feeling very much sorry for him. Meanwhile, Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar and Balaramacharya and Yadunanda, they were going around Haridas saying, we beg forgiveness, we invited you here and you were blasphemed. And Haridas said, no, he just doesn't know what he's talking about. No problem. He wasn't affected. Then from there he went to Pulina, Puliagram. And he met Advaitacharya, who loved him. Advaitacharya was the best of the Brahmins. He was living in a cave there on the bank of the Ganga. But he was chanting, and he would go along the bank of the river dancing and chanting in ecstasy, and people would see him and he would tell them the glories of the holy name. His love was so deep and so pure that it transformed people's hearts. Just seeing him, just hearing him, they were transformed and immediately started chanting the holy names. This was intolerable for Brahmins who complained to the ruler that he's ruining our religion. He has no right. He should be destroyed. He must be punished. We know the story. He was arrested and told, just practice your own religion and don't do this Hindu stuff or chant the holy names anymore. If you keep doing it, you'll be beaten in 22 marketplaces, tortured publicly, and murdered. If you stop, we'll let you go right now. He said, I can't stop. I have no capacity. He said, I love Krishna. I love Krishna. And one who loves Krishna must show compassion to other living beings. And the greatest compassion anyone can extend to anyone else in this age of Kali. Jeev jago gora chandra bole, kota nidro jayo maya pisa chira kole. Enechi asadi maya nashi baro lagi, harina maha mantra lao tumi magi. Wake up, sleeping souls. This is the greatest act of compassion, to wake the sleeping soul. No matter who you are or what you have to grow old, get diseased, and die, and that death could come at any moment. I have heard about people who just take their physical and are in excellent health. And a few days later, they have a heart attack and die. Even top doctors, we have heard, this happens to. In the prime of their youth. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. There's danger at every step. But the soul is eternal. Najayate mriyate vakadachin. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. Nothing can impede the life of the eternal soul. To awaken the eternal reality of one's identity, to awaken one's potential, to love Krishna, that is the greatest welfare. Para upakar. It's the greatest compassion. And in this age of Kali, the means of attaining that is the chanting of the holy name. Much louder. Haridas Thakur told the Qazi and the king, he said, showing compassion to others by spreading the glories of the holy name is my nature, because I love Krishna. Even if you chop my body into thousands of pieces, every one of those pieces will be broadcasting the glories of the holy name. They dragged him through the streets. They beat him severely through all 22 marketplaces. They were so exhausted, and they couldn't beat him anymore. They hated him so much, all of their energy, every last drop of their energy, and they had a lot of energy, was dedicated exclusively to inflict pain on him and to kill him. And yet when they were utterly exhausted at the end of the day, Haridasa Thakur just looked at them with compassion. They said, "We don't understand who you are. We're beating you. We're shouting the worst horrible obscenities against you. Right in public, we're dragging you through the streets like an animal. And you're looking at us with such love the whole time. In fact, you're looking at us like you feel sorry for us. And we can't kill you. Because we can't kill you, we're going to be killed for not killing you." Haridasa said, "Oh, I'm causing an inconvenience to you? Just see what I will do." And then he just chanted and gave up his life. He went into a samadhi state. His heartbeat, his pulse, his breath, everything stopped. If you had one of those things in the hospital, it would just go straight line. He was dead. What to do with him? They threw him in the river like a piece of trash. That's what they said. Just throw him in the river like a piece of trash. They said to the Hindus, "Would you like to burn him?" They said, "No, he's not a Hindu. He doesn't deserve to be liberated in the fire." They asked the Muslims, "Would you like to bury him?" He said, "No, he's chanting Krishna's names. He doesn't deserve to attain paradise by being buried. So what should we do with him? Just throw him in the river like a piece of trash." That's what they did. He floated for a while. Then he came out of his samadhi. Now, if you were him, you would probably go to the forest and hide. Yes? He went right directly back to the town to meet the king and the executioners, just to say Hari Bol. Just to show compassion to them. Can you imagine? He went right directly back to the town. And when the king saw him, he bowed down and said, "You are a great saint. Please forgive me." Haridasa forgave him. Forgave everybody. Such love. Another time, someone, a Brahmin, very learned, was with so many others, and they challenged Haridasa. Why you are chanting loudly? According to our knowledge of Vedas, these mantras should be silent, not loud. If you chant loudly, it destroys their potency, limits their potency. And Haridasa Thakur started quoting from the scriptures, one after another, proving that loud chanting is much more purifying than soft chanting, because not only do you get purified, but everybody who hears the vibration gets purified. And because he defeated them, instead of just saying, "Yes, you are correct, sir," they got even more angry. They said, "Just see, what the scriptures say is correct. It is confirmed today that low-class yavana, mlecha, is speaking from the Vedas and corrupting and polluting its real purpose." Then they walked away, all of them, after blaspheming and condemning him, misleading the whole society when the Malechas speak from the Vedas. The scriptures only tell us a few instances. It was probably a daily affair for Haridas Thakur. He was always being judged and condemned and ridiculed and misused. But he was always in bliss. He would be in ecstasy, chanting and dancing. Advaitacharya, he was really a Brahmin who understood the essence. He became the best friend of Haridas Thakur. In Shantipur, finally Advaita Prabhu was thinking, finally a true Vaishnav has come. And they shared their love for Krishna so deeply. And when it came for the very prestigious Shraddha ceremony of Sri Advaita Prabhu, the most learned, exalted of all the Brahmins gathered there. And in front of everyone, Advaitacharya gave the honors of the first offerings of the Shraddha to Haridas Thakur. Advaitacharya was really putting his reputation on the line, but he didn't care because he understood the whole purpose of the Varnashram system. Atapumbird vijastreshtas varnashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir hari toshanam. Whatever one's particular place in the varna or ashram system, the purpose is simply samsidir hari toshanam, to give pleasure to Lord Hari. Haridas Thakur is giving the highest pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, he has perfected Varnashram. He is above and beyond Varnashram. He's a Vaishnav. Advaitacharya was Saragrahi. He was seeing the essence. And he didn't care what anyone thought. And Haridas Thakur was really embarrassed, because he's thinking himself the lowest of the low. But Advaitacharya Prabhu forced him to accept it in front of everybody. During the Mahaprakash, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered Haridas Thakur any benediction he wanted. At the house of Srivas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving the most intimate blessings to all of his devotees. According to their particular mood of devotion, he was fulfilling all their desires. Kolavecha Sridhar, he had the bhava of a gopa, a cowherd boy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to him his form of Krishna and Balaram and the whole forest of Vrindavan and all the cows, and offered him any benediction you like. The poor poverty-stricken banana leaf seller, he wouldn't take anything. When Lord Chaitanya pushed and pushed and pushed, ultimately the only thing that Kolavecha Sridhar would ask for, he said, because you're forcing me to take something, just give me this one thing. I don't want wealth. I don't want mystic powers. I don't want liberation. I don't want elevation to the spiritual world. Just let that little boy Nimai come and steal my bananas every day. Let that vision forever be within my heart. That was his. And Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praising him. All of those beatings in Fuliagram? He said, I took them upon myself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed Haridas and all the devotees, his back was bruised severely just to save Haridas's life. Haridas didn't want anything, but when finally he was forced to ask for a benediction, he said, just allow me in every birth I take to get the remnants of the food that is on your that is from the plates of your devotees. That's all I want. He said, let me take birth even as a dog or an insect near the house of a devotee, so that after they eat, when they throw out their plates, I can get some of their remnants. Now, if you were asked for any benediction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, would you ask for that? Raise your hand, please. That is his humility. That is why he could chant the holy names of the Lord 300,000 times a day. Because he had such love for the devotees. He had such appreciation for the devotees. If you cannot appreciate the devotees, you cannot appreciate the Lord. And the Lord blesses and empowers one who appreciates his devotees. And then Haridas Thakur says to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, I am so shameless. I'm so low. I'm so fallen and undeserving. And yet I'm asking you for such an exalted benediction as this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Haridas, not only do I give you love of God, prema bhakti, but anyone who sees you or hears about you is going to get it. When Haridas Thakur came to Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was personally greeting all the Vaishnavas. Each and every devotee, he would personally give them a garland. Lord Chaitanya would personally decorate their body with sandalwood pulp and embrace them with such love. Then he brought them all to his home and he arranged just the kind of residential quarters that each and every one of them would be the most comfortable in. Arranged just the prasad that they liked. He was so meticulous in the way he served the devotees. And each devotee who came in to his room, he was embracing them and praising their glories as if he had so many mouths. And he asked somebody, where is Haridas Thakur? They said, where is Haridas? And they saw that down the dusty dirt path, Haridas was laying there offering his full dandavat pranams, chanting the holy names. Distance away. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to one devotee, go pick up Haridas and bring him here. They went to Haridas, and he was laying there. He said, Lord Gauranga wants you to come to the Gambira. He's calling for you to his own room. He said, no, I am too fallen. I am too lowly. If I go there, I will contaminate that place. I will remain here. Lord Chaitanya honored him. This is the way he was feeling. You see, when you say something to God, when you say something to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he hears the intention of your heart. In your prayers, He does not just hear the words, he hears the intention. In your services, he doesn't just see what is offered, he sees the intention in which it is offered. Sincerity means to be genuine. Haridas really felt that way, that he was so contaminated. So Lord Chaitanya honored that, and he gave everybody their loving exchange, gave everyone gifts, gave everyone prasad, gave everyone residences. When everyone was gone, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went right to that dusty road to where Haridas was, picked him up and embraced him. And Haridas said, "Don't touch me, I'm contaminated." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I am embracing you to purify myself." And it's not that the Lord's just saying that. That's his bhava. That's his feeling. Before yajnas, we offer a prayer. Om apavitra apavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmarit pundarikaksam sabhayabhyantara suchi. Whether we're purified or unpurified, or having passing through so many situations in life, when we remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pavitra, completely pure, we are purified both within and without. The Lord is supremely pure. The scripture is described like the sun. The sun never gets contaminated by any situation, but can purify everything. The sun purifies stool and urine, but doesn't get contaminated by touching it. Krishna is all pure. His holy name is supremely pure. Even the greatest dinahina yata chilo harinam udharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Jagai and madhai's sins were so great that even Yamaraj and his secretary Chitragupta were having very difficult time just calculating them. Every day, many of us have a quota of chanting at least 16 rounds. Well, Jagai and Madhai, they had their quotas too. How many women they would rape every day, how many people, how many Brahmins they would murder, how many cows they would eat, how many bottles of liquor they would drink, how many houses they would burn down, how many old ladies they would beat up. Hare Krishna. This is not an exaggeration. Sometimes in dramas we see of devotees, Jagai and Madhai are going, and everyone laughs like this. It's like a comedy. But please understand, if you saw the real Jagai and Madhai, you would not laugh. You would be scared to death. The biggest terrorists and criminals and gangsters of this world today are like little ants with broken legs compared to Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai are Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna in their past lives with all those powers. They were bad. But yet, just by chanting Krishna's names, all their sins were completely removed forever. And they attained prema bhakti. What is the purifying power of Krishna in his name? And here is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, the most merciful of all incarnations, supremely pure. Krishna tasting the absolute supreme purity of Sri Radharani's love and distributing that love to the world. And yet here is the absolute pure supreme truth embracing person who is considered to be a Malecha and a Yavana and an outcast. And he's embracing him. And Lord Chaitanya, with tears in his eyes, is saying, I am embracing you to become purified. And he's feeling that way. The Lord feels purified by his devotee. This is love. This cannot be understood through intellectual, logical research. This can only be understood by realizing what is love, what is God's love, and what is a devotee's love. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally arranged just the perfect place for Haridas Thakur. And Haridas was not allowed to go into Jagannath's temple. And he wouldn't dare even try. Can you imagine? He was just living about a five-minute walk from Jagannath's temple. And he never got to see Jagannath. He had to wait until Rath Yatra. And even then, only on the street. He wasn't allowed in Gundicha temple, nor would he try. But Srila Prabhupada explains very fondly how Lord Jagannath himself would come out of the temple every day in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet with Haridas Thakur for 2 to 3 hours every day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bring him Mahaprasad of all different varieties and sit and have Hari Katha with him for hours every day. And how the Lord would enjoy the association of his devotee. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, of all places in Puri, they specifically chose to live with Haridas Thakur. Now I'll begin the class. One day, Lord Chaitanya's personal servant, Govinda, came to Siddha Bakula, Haridas Thakur's kutir. And he found Haridas was laying down on his back, chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna. And Govinda said, please get up, Haridas. Is there something wrong? I have brought on the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasad. Please get up and eat prasad. And Haridas said, I cannot. I have not finished my vow of chanting 300,000 names today. So how can I eat prasad? But at the same time, Mahaprasad is Krishna himself. How can I not honor the prasad? So this was his dilemma. He didn't want to eat it, but he couldn't not eat it. Haridas Thakur showed his example. He offered his sincere, heartfelt obeisances to the prasad. He offered prayers of love, respect, and worship to the prasad. And then he took a tiny little poor particle of it and ate it. That's how he honored the prasad. The next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. He had heard the report from Govinda. And he said, Haridas, tell me, are you well? And Haridas said, my body is quite well. But my mind is not. Lord Chaitanya said, well, what is the problem? He said, I am not able to finish my regulation of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Therefore, I am in a diseased condition. Herein, Srila Prabhupada writes in purport that we all have a regulation for chanting the holy names. Srila Prabhupada prescribed 16 rounds for those who were very serious, minimum. He said, if we do not complete our chanting according to this regulation, we should understand that spiritually we are in a diseased condition. But Prabhupada said, not only just chanting, but chanting in such a way that we actually can hear it and focus our mind on it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Haridas Thakur, he said, you are so old now. It's not possible for you to finish chanting 3 lakhs every day. Reduce the number of rounds that you're chanting. You have incarnated in this world for the purpose of spreading the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement, and you have fulfilled the purpose of your incarnation. You have done it. You have shown the highest example. But now you're old. There's no need. Please, reduce the number of rounds. Should I continue? Thank you. Haridas Thakur replied, my dear Lord, kindly hear my plea. I was born in an inferior family. My body is abominable. My acts are very low. Therefore, I am the lowest and most condemned of all men. I am unseeable. I am untouchable. Yet you have accepted me as your servant. And in doing so, you have elevated me to the platform of Vaikuntha. My dear Lord, you are the supreme independent personality of Godhead. By your will, you can make the entire universe dance as you like it to dance. And even me, you have made me dance according to your wishes. An example, in the house of Advaitacharya, you awarded me the highest, most prestigious position of giving the first remnants of his Shraddha, even though I was born in a family of Malechas, and I am a Malecha. My Lord, for a very long time I have had a desire. Please fulfill my desire. I know that you are independent and you are supreme. And if you like, you can try to fulfill my desire. It is the one desire I have been longing for a long time. I feel that very soon you will perform the final chapter of your pastime within this material world. I do not want to see this closing chapter of your material world pastimes. Haridas Thakur is telling, I will not be able to bear seeing you leave this world. And I feel that it's coming very soon. Therefore, before that pastime is performed, I beg of you, my Lord, allow my body to fall down at your lotus feet. Allow me to clasp those lotus feet and press them firmly on my heart. Allow my eyes to see your beautiful lotus-like face. And with my tongue, chanting your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, let my body fall down before you. He's praying to die. Lord Chaitanya heard this and became very emotional. He said, Haridas, certainly, because you're such a great devotee, whatever you wish, Krishna must fulfill. But why are you asking for this? What about me? All of my pleasure in this world is coming due to your association. Why do you want to leave me behind? Haridas replied, My Lord, why are you creating this illusion? What is my value? He said, there are so many important and good devotees. You have millions of devotees who are so far superior to me that they are fit to sit on top of my head. They are actually very important. They are doing significant things for your movement. I'm doing nothing. If an insect dies, what is the loss? If an insignificant ant passes away, what is the loss to this material world? My Lord, I am insignificant. I'm begging you, please fulfill this one desire. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very grave and he left. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought his most intimate devotees with him to the bhajan kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. There was Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Vakreshwar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, Shankar Pandit, Kashishwar Pandit. These are the devotees that are named. So many great souls. When they came in, Haridas Thakur offered his obeisances, dandavats, to every single devotee. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him and said, Haridas, what is the news? And Haridas's reply, whatever mercy you bestow upon me. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew his heart. He told Swarup Damodar Goswami to begin kirtan. All around Haridas Thakur, the devotees were very loudly chanting the holy name. Then Sri Gauranga began to extol the glories of Thakur Haridas as if he had five mouths, deriving great happiness, bliss, describing the glories of his devotee. How beautiful. Machchita madgata prana bodhiyanta parasparam khatiyantaschama nityam tushyanti charamanticha. Bhagavad Gita tells how my devotees love to gather together and they derive the greatest happiness discussing my glories. Harikata, discussing the glories of the Lord, is the greatest happiness for the devotees. Speaking the glories, hearing the glories, chanting the glories. But that person who gives us the highest bliss by chanting his glories, or Sri Radharani, her glories, Mahaprabhu Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Radha and Krishna is there as Mahaprabhu. What gives him the greatest pleasure? Chanting the glories of his devotees. Haridas Thakur surrendered his life at all risk to chant the glories of the Lord 24 hours a day. And what was the reciprocation? That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the greatest happiness chanting the glories of Haridas Thakur. And all the devotees were struck with wonder to hear Lord Chaitanya so blissfully describing Haridas Thakur. Then Srila Haridas Thakur took the dust of the feet of every single devotee there and applied that dust to his head, not as a ritual. When you take the dust of the feet of a devotee on your head, Krishna sees your intent. If you're doing it as a ritual, you get a little purification. But the real spirit is the highest part of my body, my head, I'm putting it under the dust of the lowest part of your body, your feet. That means you are great, I am insignificant. I am your servant. From the heart of heart, I want to serve you because you are Prabhu, you are Master. And I am Das, 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 Anu, 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 Das, insignificant servant. That was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was the mood of Srila Haridas Thakur when he was putting the dust of the devotee's feet on his head. That was his heart. That is what the Lord is seeing and feeling. For a Vaishnav, the dust of the feet of another Vaishnav is the most sacred, treasured, invaluable attainment in this entire creation of Lord Brahma. Pure gold necklaces, pure gold ornaments, beautiful marble palaces, Rolls-Royce, Mercedes-Benz, owning 10,000 acres of land in South Bombay. What's it worth? You can't take any of it with you after you die. It cannot awaken the treasure of love of God in your heart. What really is its value? Spiritually, it has no value. Unless it's used in Krishna's service, then it has value. But the dust of the feet of a devotee could liberate you from all suffering forever. The dust of a feet of a devotee can awaken prema bhakti, ecstatic love, can give us entrance into the lila of Sri Vrindavan Dham. What a treasure! How much do we appreciate it? How much do we long for it? And you see, when you take the dust of the feet of a devotee on your head, you'll get benefit. But according to how much you value it, appreciate it, and recognize its value, you're going to get that much more benefit. So this is couple thousand people here today, inside and outside and everywhere else. A lot of dust. And in the monsoon season, it mixes with water and it becomes both Charanamrit and dust together. Betty, this place is really full of riches. So Haridas Thakur took the dust of every devotee, put it on his head, in such a spirit of servitude. Then he pressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful golden lotus feet upon his heart. And all the devotees, including Lord Chaitanya, chanted Harinam Sankirtan. As this chanting filled the entire atmosphere, Thakur Haridas looked up at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful moon-like face. His eyes were like two bumblebees gazing upon it. Tears were flowing from his eyes incessantly, as Haridas repeatedly chanted, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Shri is Radha, Shri is Radharani, Krishna is Shamsundar, Chaitanya. Who is Lord Chaitanya, Radha, and Krishna? This was the name he was chanting again and again and again, as all the other devotees were loudly chanting Harinam. And in that state, Haridas Thakur gave up his life. The devotees were astonished. Immediately they all remembered the passing of Bhishma. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishma simply waited in a bed of arrows for many weeks in the cold of winter for Krishna to return. He knew that Krishna would return, because Krishna always satisfies the innermost desires of his devotee. And in the presence of Lord Krishna, Bhishma gave up his life. When Haridas Thakur gave up his life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so inundated with feelings of ecstatic jubilation and separation. He lifted Haridas Thakur's body up and put it on his lap, then began to dance. Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing, Swarup Damodar Goswami and all the others were chanting, Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They were all dancing and chanting, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing throughout the entire courtyard, holding the body of Srila Haridas Thakur. Mahaprabhu's eyes flooding with tears of love for his devotees as everyone was loudly celebrating the passing of Haridas by the chanting of the holy names. Mahaprabhu couldn't give up this body. The same body that was condemned by most of the Hindu society. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the Lord of all Lords, the ultimate goal of all religions, couldn't give up holding the dead corpse of that person. Isn't that amazing? Because corpses are considered contaminated, yes? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't give up the corpse. He was so attached to Haridas Thakur. Now, sannyasis are not supposed to be attached. And he's the crest jewel of all sannyasis. But the ultimate detachment is to be completely attached to Krishna, to Krishna's devotees, to Krishna Katha, to Krishna Nam, to Krishna Seva. That is detachment of its highest sense. Swarup Damodar Goswami somehow or other stopped the kirtan and said, we have to perform the last rites. So they quickly made a carrier for Haridas that looked like a spaceship, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Spaceship. And they were carrying him through the lanes of Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was leading the Nagar Sankirtan procession, dancing in ecstasy. And they came to the sea. They bathe the body of Haridas Thakur with the seawater. And as they were bathing it, Lord Chaitanya proclaimed for all time to come that because Haridas Thakur's body is today being bathed in this sea is now so pure, it will forever be a place of holy pilgrimage. And as they were pouring water over the feet of Haridas, every one of the devotees was catching the water and drinking it for their purification. And they were in ecstasy. This is very, very amazing. These are sannyasis. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is very, very highly placed Brahman, practically the guru of the king. All these devotees. Corpse is supposed to be contaminated. And salt water doesn't taste very good. But they're drinking the salt water that's washing the feet of a corpse. Drinking it, sprinkling it on their head. Considering this the great treasure. To get purified, to honor and worship this devotee. Love is beyond ritualistic regulations. And the body of a pure devotee is absolutely pure. After bathing his body, they had dug a hole in the sand. They placed the body in it, and then they began to offer all sorts of Mahaprasad of Jagannath, sandalwood and different types of clothes and food and everything, garlands, flowers. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great feeling, deep feeling, he started the process with his own loving hands of covering the body of Haridas Thakur with sand. Such an offering of love. Then all the devotees went around that pit and began to offer sand. In bhakti, it's beyond material consideration. It's the intent. How many of you would like sand thrown in your face? Is sand much of an offering? Offering gulab jamuns or kichoris, you like. But somebody offers you sand? But Lord Chaitanya is offering the sand with love and devotion. And all the devotees are offering sand with love and devotion. They're offering it as an expression of their deepest, most profound love, gratitude to Haridas Thakur. Sand. And in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu buried the body. Then they put something there to mark the place. They fenced it off so that other people would not step over it. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they circumambulated it several times while they danced and chanted in ecstasy. Then they went into the ocean to bathe, and they were splashing each other, and according to Kaviraj Goswami, in jubilation. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leads the devotees from the beach all the way to Jagannath's temple, where he starts going to each and every shopkeeper personally. And he's saying, I'm a beggar. Today I have come to beg Mahaprasad from each of you to glorify, honor, and worship Srila Haridas Thakur. Amazing. Here is a person who all his life, except for a few devotees, was ridiculed, blasphemed, and rejected. Here is a man who is never in his life allowed into Jagannath's temple. And was too humble to even try to go in. And yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jagannath himself, is begging publicly in front of everyone to honor and worship him. The shopkeepers were just coming out and giving basket after basket after basket filled, overfilled with food, with prasad. And Swarup Damodar Goswami went to the shopkeepers and said, please, please, just give 4 handfuls of each preparation. That will be enough. And he asked Lord Chaitanya, that we will do this begging. You please... There was so much prasad being brought. People were so enthusiastic. The whole town of Puri wanted to glorify Haridas Thakur. Just see the impact he made in people's lives. And then Kashi Mishra and so many others were sending large quantities of prasad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had everybody lined up. All the devotees, the people of Puri, they were all lined up to honor the prasad. Lord Chaitanya himself began to serve. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not inclined to eating small portions of prasad. And he had such a deep enthusiasm to give so much of his heart to the devotees that every plate that he served, he put more than five men could possibly eat on it. That was how enthusiastic he was to serve the Vaishnavas. And Swarup Damodar Goswami saw this very difficult scene. He said, nobody's going to eat until you eat, my Lord, so let us serve, and you sit with Brahmananda Bharati, Brahmananda Puri, Paramananda Puri. You take with the very senior sannyasis and let us serve. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, Jagadananda Pandit, Shankar Pandit, and Kashishwar Pandit, they were the leaders of the serving team. This is extraordinary in itself. This is a class in itself. But I know that you're hungry, so I'm not going to. Serving is an exalted position. Serving prasad is a very exalting position. The topmost of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees were serving the prasad to the Vaishnavas and to the common people. Can you imagine? Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi, the foremost of the intimate maidservant friends of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world, the very intimate personal associate and secretary. This is the highest position there was. He was the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. And he's serving the prasad in such a humble and inattentive way to make everyone happy. Jagadananda Pandit, he is one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is in conjugal ras, madhurya ras. He's a gopi from Vrindavan who has descended into this world. He's so powerful that Lord Chaitanya was afraid of him. Yes, we know many stories. We all know. He was so eager to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when he would bring sandalwood oil, he told Govinda, please massage Lord Chaitanya with this oil. Lord Chaitanya, when Govinda was about to massage him, he said, what is this, Sam? A sannyasi? Who's going to this? It wasn't just sandalwood oil. It was very specially prepared with other fragrant scents, too. Mahaprabhu said, I'm a sannyasi. What will people think when they smell me? He said, give this sandalwood to Lord Jagannath in the temple. When Jagadananda Pandit heard this, he came to see Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm going to give the sandalwood to Lord Jagannath. And Jagadananda Pandit said, what sandalwood? I never gave you any sandalwood. And he picked up the pot and threw it on the floor. And it all went into the earth. Then he went to his room, locked the door, and fasted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't bear his devotee fasting. So he said to Jagadananda, today at noon, I'm coming to lunch at your house, so have it ready. Jagadananda Pandit was in ecstasy. He was in ecstasy. He took his bath and began to cook, and he cooked a lot. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu came at noon, and Jagadananda Pandit was serving him more and more and more. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept eating more than he usually ever ate. The reason? Out of fear of Jagadananda Pandit. He was fearful that if he stopped eating, Jagadananda Pandit would fast again. So he kept eating and eating. Finally, he said, I've already eaten so much more than I ever eat, please. And Jagadananda Pandit said, just a little more. Finally, the Lord finished and he washed himself and ate the spices. And then Lord Chaitanya said, you've been fasting for so many days now. Now you eat. I want to see you eat. Jagadananda Pandit said, you go and take rest and let me serve the other servers. And then after that, I will eat. I promise. So Lord Chaitanya obeyed. He went back to his room. And he laid down to rest, but he couldn't rest because he was worried that Jagadananda's fasting. He told Govinda, go back to Jagadananda's house and then come back and tell me after he's eaten. So Govinda goes back to Jagadananda Pandit's house and Jagadananda Pandit says, now Govinda, you eat. So Govinda eats. He probably had to overeat too. And then finally, after everybody else ate, then Jagadananda Pandit ate. And Govinda ran back, told Lord Chaitanya, Jagadananda Pandit ate prasad. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, very good. And he took rest. This is Jagadananda Pandit's power. What an intimate associate of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya used to chastise him because of these things. When Sanatana Goswami had those itchy sores all over his body, and for several months Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him, and blood and pus was getting on Mahaprabhu's beautiful golden form, Sanatana Goswami was so pained by that, but he couldn't stop Lord Chaitanya from embracing him. So one day he discussed with Jagadananda, what to do? This is really disturbing me. And Jagadananda Pandit said that the Lord has already told you that he wants you to go to Vrindavan with your brother Rupa Goswami, so just go. Just go to Vrindavan. That's the answer. So next time Lord Chaitanya came and to embrace him, Sanatana Goswami said, I'm going to Vrindavan. Why are you going to Vrindavan? Well, I talked with Jagadananda Pandit. This impudent neophyte, what right does he have to instruct you who are fit to be my spiritual master? And Sanatana Goswami became very humble. Now, we would probably become pretty proud if the Lord said, you are fit to be my spiritual master. Sanatana Goswami said, now I can understand my unfortunate condition. That you chastise an intimate associate, but you praise an outsider. He said, now I can understand that Jagadananda Pandit is such an intimate, loving associate with yours, that he's tasting the sweetness of your chastisement. But I can understand, I'm just an outsider, that I have to taste the bitter, bitter fruit of your praise. Lord Chaitanya said, no, it's not like that. I'm honestly. So Sanatana Goswami, Jagadananda, they were best of friends. They lived in Vrindavan together even for some time. So this is Jagadananda Pandit, and he's serving prasad. And what is the power of Shankar Pandit? Should I continue? He's Damodar Pandit's brother. And that's a whole nother story. When Lord Chaitanya was living in Gambira in his last years, he would be in so much ecstasy in Sri Radha Bhava, Mahabhava, that sometimes he would grind his face against the walls in love and separation. And his body would be bruised. And the devotees didn't know what to do. But they knew the exalted position of Shankar Pandit. And they knew how much the Lord loved him. So they had Shankar Pandit sleep, go in Gambira and stay all night long in that little room of Gambira with Lord Chaitanya. Can you imagine such an exalted position? It's just you and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all night, every night, just the two of you. As he's going into ecstasies and you're supposed to protect him, Lord Chaitanya would sleep on his lap. Therefore, one of the very famous names of Shankar Pandit is he's Lord Chaitanya's personal pillow. And Lord Chaitanya, he would sleep on the lap of Shankar Pandit many times, and he wouldn't dare to hurt himself out of fear of Shankar Pandit. What does fear mean? Why should Lord Chaitanya be afraid of a devotee? He was afraid of displeasing him. It's not that Shankar Pandit was going to beat him. He was afraid of displeasing him. He was afraid of displeasing Jagadananda Pandit. And Kashishwar Pandit, he was a disciple of Ishwarapuri. He was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal godbrother. These are the people that were serving the prasad. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he wasn't allowed to serve the prasad, he wasn't allowed to. That's how he wants to please his devotees. So personal. But from where he was sitting, he was directing the servers. Because Lord Chaitanya, who's the super soul in everyone's heart, knows exactly what everyone wants to eat at every moment. Simultaneously. And he was directing the servants, give that person more rasgulla. Give that person more shak. Give this devotee more halava. And Mahaprabhu kept saying, eat more, eat more. And everyone was eating more just to please him as he was directing the servers. And it said everyone ate so much prasad for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya that they were filled up to their necks. Now that's a lot. When you eat so much that you actually feel full up to your neck. And after everyone took prasad beyond their full satisfaction, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took prasad himself, he washed. Then he placed beautiful, fragrant flower garlands and sandalwood pulp on every devotee and embraced them. Then while they were all gathered together, Mahaprabhu spoke. He said, anyone who has participated in this festival in honor of Sri Haridas Thakur is most fortunate. Whoever has taken this feast of prasad in his honor, whoever placed sand on his body, whoever partook in the kirtan, whoever in any way participated in this glorious festival of Srila Haridas Thakur will very soon become determined on the path of bhakti and will very soon attain Krishna's favor. And he said, by Krishna's mercy, he gave me the association of Srila Haridas Thakur. But by his own inconceivable will, Krishna has now taken that association away from me. Haridas Thakur was the crest jewel of the entire creation. But now he is gone. Then Lord Chaitanya requested everyone, please chant Srila Haridas Thakur ki Srila Haridas Thakur ki Srila Haridas Thakur ki. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as everyone was saying Haridas Thakur ki jai, Mahaprabhu just went into ecstasy, began to dance. Then he returned to his home with mixed feelings of both ecstatic joy and deep, profound pain of separation. Ecstatic pain of separation. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that this beautiful narration exhibits the nature of the Supreme Lord's love for his devotees. The affection that the Lord has for the devotees is unlimited. And therefore, by serving the devotees, we gain the greatest favor from the Lord and give the ultimate pleasure to the Lord. This is Vaishnav Seva. The Lord himself longs to serve the Vaishnavas. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that this story shows not only the affection of the Lord for the devotees, but the affection of the devotees for the Lord. And it also shows the affection of the devotees for each other. This is Vaishnav culture. Our love for Krishna, Krishna's love for the Vaishnavas, and all the devotees' love for each other, and the devotees' compassion for every living being. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's culture. Again, to unconditionally love Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Na danamna janamna sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatat bhakti rohai tikitvahi. Lord Chaitanya himself taught us this culture. I do not want wealth or the opposite sex, pleasures or fame. I don't even want liberation. I just want to serve you, my Lord, unconditionally. Unconditional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unconditional service to the Vaishnavas, to the devotees, and deep, genuine compassion for all living beings. And when the Lord sees that we are interacting with each other in that spirit, the Lord becomes conquered by that love. And the Lord's intimate affection is forever ours. Kaviraj Goswami says, anyone who hears this narration of the Lord's love for Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur's love for the Lord, will attain great determination for the principles of pure devotional service. in this spirit, let us chant the holy name. And we will dedicate this latest news on Trivikram Prabhu. It says that he's little better than last night. But his heart has not yet stabilized. And in underlined big letters, it is written, please continue prayers. This is a wonderful way to serve a Vaishnava. So let us dedicate this kirtan to Trivikram Prabhu.